part of Genesis chapter 3 that I'd like to focus on is beginning there in verse 22, where the Bible reads, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Now, the title of my sermon tonight is kind of a strange title, but I want you to bear with me because this sermon is going to be something that you can definitely understand tonight, and it's going to be a lot of biblical preaching. I have a lot of scripture to teach on here. But the title might kind of throw you for a loop at first. The title of the sermon is this: Transhumanism in Light of the Bible. All right? You're like, what in the world? Transhumanism in Light of the Bible. But this is a subject that people are talking about today and people are thinking about. And it might not be that relevant to your life today in 2015, but it's something that is going to become more relevant. And it has a great tie-in with end times prophecy, you know, when you study the scripture on this. Now, just to give you an idea of what this transhumanism is, it's basically the idea that man can exceed the limitations that God has put upon him. Okay, God has created human beings with certain limitations. We're not all-knowing. We're not all-powerful. We're not all-present like God is. We have human limitations. And this idea of transhumanism is to use science and technology to exceed those limitations. And especially when people talk about transhumanism, they often refer to the ability of human beings to live on beyond a normal lifespan, even to live forever. Not eternal life through Jesus, spiritually, but rather physically, to make our bodies be able to live forever, reverse the aging process, or use technology or what have you. Now, I'll get more into that in a little bit. But first of all, I just want to point out in the scripture here, Genesis chapter 3, that when man had reached a level that God did not want him to reach, where he had exceeded the limits that God had placed upon him, God put a stop to man's progress at that point. Because here, when the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, that the man became, he said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us." You say, why does he say us? Well, it's because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. He says, "The man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden." So why was man kicked out of the Garden of Eden in the first place? Well, after man took of the forbidden fruit and took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said that he did not want him to continue in the garden because he would be able to eat of the tree of life and live forever. God did not want him to both have the knowledge of good and evil and be able to eat of the tree of life and live forever. That's why he had to be thrust forth from the Garden of Eden. Why? Because God had commanded man not to eat of that tree. And he said, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And the moment that Adam ate of that fruit, he died spiritually, not physically, but spiritually he died. And man did not, well, God did not want him to live forever at that point. And basically at that point, he had to physically die as well. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." The Bible says, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. See, death is the punishment for our sins. And so God's not going to allow man to circumvent death through physical means. Because if God would have allowed it here, man could have taken of the tree of life and eaten of it and lived forever. And God said, "Well, I'm not going to let that happen. So that's why I'm going to throw him out of the Garden of Eden." Now flip over to Genesis 11 and you'll see something similar. Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis 11, we have a story of the Tower of Babel. And beginning in verse number 1, the Bible reads, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Now, verse 6 is the key. Watch this. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad, and on the story goes. So what we see here is that when man reaches a level that God doesn't want him to reach, then God puts a stop to it. You know, when they are at a point where God says, well, now nothing's going to be restrained from them, he steps in and he stops the progress dead in its tracks. Now, when we think of transhumanism and people seeking technologies to gain immortality or to kind of play God with human beings and create genetically modified human beings or superhuman beings, transhumans, then I believe, based on the study of Scripture, based on Genesis 3, based on Genesis 11, that this will not be allowed to take place. I don't believe that it will ever happen. Right. So just going into it, all these technologies I'm going to bring up in this sermon, I do not believe that man will achieve these technologies, because I think when God looks down and sees what man is doing and says, wow, he's becoming like unto us, historically in the Bible, he steps in and puts a stop to it. We know how things are going to end upon this earth. We have the book of Revelation. We have 1st and 2nd Thessalonians that explain to us in detail what the end times are going to be like. We know that there's a period coming known as the tribulation. We know that the second coming of Jesus Christ is real and it's going to take place. So the question is, when will these things take place? We don't know, but I personally believe that the second coming of Jesus Christ will take place before these transhuman type technologies are reached, and especially before man can extend his life to the point of even possible immortality. It's just simply not going to happen, because I don't believe that God's going to allow it to happen. I believe the second coming of Christ will happen before that happens. That's what I believe based on these scriptures. But look over, if you would, to the book of Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. While you're turning there, I'll read for you from Genesis 3, verse 5. When the devil was first tempting man to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, here's what he said. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the devil is trying to tempt man with this idea of being like God. He said, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And they take that bait and they eat of the forbidden fruit. And then when God says he's become like as one of us, you know, knowing good and evil, he casts them out of the garden. See, there was a little bit of truth in the devil's lie. When the devil lies to us, sometimes he'll mix in a little bit of truth to make it more believable and to get people to fall for it. But look at Isaiah 14, where the Bible talks about the devil himself falling. It says in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. In this scripture, we see his pride, his arrogancy, how great he thinks he is. And it all comes down to that final statement, I will be like the Most High. That was the downfall of Satan. And then that's what he tempts man with, wanting to be like God. And this transhumanism, as I'm going to show you in this sermon, is nothing more than man trying to step into the place of God. It's nothing more than pride and arrogancy that says that we can create something greater than what God has created. You see, the crowning achievement of God's creation was mankind. He created the earth, he created the animals, and then the final achievement is when he creates man in his own image after his own likeness. That is the greatest thing that God created, a human being, okay? Well, man thinks that he can improve upon that. That's what transhumanism is, creating something better than what God has made. Because if you listen to these guys talk, they're so prideful and arrogant. They talk about how our bodies were not designed by God. They're just an accident of evolution, and they're not perfect. There's all these problems with them and all these improvements that we could make and so forth. And they want to play God and do a better job with it. Now, there's a religion that wants to be God, and it's called Mormonism. Yeah. It's just a few miles away over here in Mesa is the second largest Mormon population in America. And their religion literally teaches them, you shall be as gods. Yeah, right. It literally teaches them that they, if they're a good Mormon, will become their own god of their own planet someday. You know, and people fall for this and they believe in this. Now, if you talk to Mormons, sometimes they'll try to deny that. But when you pin them down, they'll admit it. They'll talk about it. And there's a famous quote that one of the founding prophets of Mormonism said. He said, as man is, God once was. And as God is, man may become. So Satan has tempted the Mormons with this doctrine of becoming as God. And then those who are atheistic type, scientific, you know, into transhumanism, he's tempted them also with that same thing of, hey, you shall be as gods. You can live forever as God. You can go beyond what God has created. Now, why does man seek to live forever? Why does man even want to have a life that never ends? Well, because the Bible tells us that those who are not saved have a fear of death. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the Bible teaches us that those who are unbelievers, they fear death. You see, the believer says, oh, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. But to the unsaved, they fear death. They don't know what it is, and they don't want to go there. And so basically, they want to try to extend their life through technology instead of seeking the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ, who offers eternal life through faith in his blood, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. They want to bypass that and make their own eternal life, live forever on their own terms. This is what transhumanism is. Now, let me mention to you a few different types of transhumanism. Basically, from my understanding, there are basically three different methods that the transhumanists would use to seek to achieve eternal life without Jesus. You know, just eternal life physically on this earth. And so I'm going to mention those three different methods that they would use. Number one is to genetically modify our bodies. You know, find that aging gene and turn that thing off, right? Reverse the aging process. Somehow get in and genetically modify man where he would live much longer or even live forever. This is one school of thought amongst the transhumanists. Now, this goes to the point that they think that they can do better than God. They're going to go into the DNA of man and make something better, improve upon it. Well, here's what the Bible says about what God does. And if you would, turn to Psalm 139. But the Bible says in Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. The Bible says that when God makes something, he makes it very well. He looked upon all of his creation as very good. And God is the ultimate creator. Amen. God has a perfect design. Now, how could man be a greater design when we're made in His image? And He's God. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." According to the Bible, we are a magnificent creation of God, fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." But they think that they could do better than God. You know, a verse that comes to mind is Psalm 131, verse 1, where the Bible reads, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me." You know, we need to realize that there are certain things that are beyond the scope of what we should be tampering with, meddling with, worried about. We think that we can do better than God. Now, the reason why the transhumanist thinks that he can improve upon God's creation is because he believes that man is an evolved animal and that man is not made in the image of God. The Bible says that man is made in the image of God, and then it goes beyond that. It says that after God had formed man from the dust of the earth, that He then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So man is a living soul created in the image of God, fearfully and wonderfully made. But these evolutionary biologists, they look at the body as being imperfect. It needs to be improved upon. We could do better. I heard this crazy psycho science woman saying, you know, imagine a Versace body design. You know, a Versace, I guess, is some designer. Who is this person? Does anybody know who that is? Yeah. Yeah. So what did he design?
Clothing
design. Imagine a Versace body design. I mean, it'd just be amazing. You idiot. God designed us. You can't improve upon it. We're created by the most intelligent being in the universe.
Right.
Okay, some weird fashion designer. I mean, I don't know anything about the guy, but if I had to guess, he's probably some queer-looking guy just based on fashion designer. I don't know anything about him. But anyway, you know, maybe I'm slandering the guy. I don't know. But the bottom line is, you know, you can't improve on what God has done because what God does is perfect.
Amen.
But these fools think, oh, but look at all the problems with us. And, you know, you listen to some of these people talk, and truly professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. One of these guys, the head of one of these big corporations, I don't remember if it was Google or one of these. I think it was Google, one of the top guys in Google. He said, you know, our bodies, you know, they're not really evolved right for the modern world. And here's his example. He said, our bodies, you know, have this tendency to want to, you know, hang on to fat, kind of save it for a rainy day. You know, that goes back to when we were hunter-gatherers and, you know, we didn't really know where our next meal was coming from, so we had to lay aside all this fat. You know, nowadays, we don't really need that gene. We need to go and turn that thing off and whatever and tamper with it. But here's what's amazing about that. You know, there are some people that don't pack on a bunch of extra fat, and other people do. See, that's not a problem with God's design. That's a lot of a problem with our lifestyle. And a lot of problem with the food that we eat.
Right.
So to sit there and say, like, we need to turn that up. No, you need to stop eating at McDonald's, buddy. And he literally said, I want to eat at McDonald's. This is what the Google guy said. He's like, well, I want to just be able to eat. He literally said, I want to just eat junk food and not get fat. So let's genetically alter man. Why don't you alter your diet, buddy? Why don't you alter your lifestyle? You know, and here's the thing. I'm not, you know, you say, oh, man, you know, the skinny guy's getting on me or whatever. Look, I'm not getting on anybody. I'm not, look, you know, we're all different. We come in different shapes and sizes, and I'm not one of these Hollywood people that thinks everybody has to be skinny as a board to be attractive. I'm not, you know, I don't fall into that camp of just everybody's got to be bony or whatever. But the bottom line is, though, you know, we do decide what our body ends up looking like by the foods that we eat and by the choices that we make and the things that we do. Can we really turn around and point the finger at God and say, God, you messed up when you created me? Because I eat a box of Ho-Hos and, you know, it doesn't do the same thing to me as if I would have eaten celery and carrots. But this is the kind of warped thinking, you know, of blaming God. And then another person said, well, look how prone to addiction we are. Well, you're going to blame God now because you're drinking and you're on drugs and you're addicted? No, that's sin. Yeah. That's you making wrong decisions. You're making bad choices. And God made us wrong. No, I believe God created our bodies right. And this is a big problem with the medical industry today. They go into it with an idea that our bodies are broken and they need to go in and fix it. You know, instead of a lot of times just letting nature run its course, because God created our bodies in an amazing way.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, this idea of, hey, we can do better. We need to fix all of God's mistakes. God didn't make mistakes when he made us. Plus, here's the thing. You know, what are we trying to create? Some master race of superhumans or something? So what if people aren't perfect? You know, do we all just have to look the same and all be just perfect? You know, maybe there's room for people to be different from one another and have faults and have issues that make them human. You know, people have even said to err is human. You know, we don't, if we're too perfect, it's like we're not even human anymore. We'd be like a robot, just perfect all the time. Which leads me to my next point about how a lot of these transhumanists, they have very misguided ideas about life and the human experience. A lot of these transhumanists will talk about, hey, if we can alter man, we can make it so that people don't have to go through any pain or suffering. Look at all the pain and suffering people are going through. We need to get rid of that in the world. But wait a minute. Pain and suffering makes us a better person.
Right.
David said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted that I might keep thy word. And you know, people who don't go through pain and suffering and struggle in their life are horrible people.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Look at a child who's given everything that they want and everything's perfect. What are they? A spoiled brat. And you know what? I thank God that I wasn't genetically modified into a perfect human being. And let me tell you something. When I was growing up, for example, I, even though now I'm normal white guy height of like, you know, 5'10", 5'11 inches tall, when I was a kid, I was always really short for my age. And I was one of the shortest kids in the class. And, you know, kids would call me shrimp and, you know, how kids are, make fun of you and everything like that. And, you know, at the time, I hated being short. And I wish that I were tall. And, you know, when I became a teenager, then I shot up and became normal height. But when I was a kid, I was made fun of for being short, right? And then when I was a teenager, I had acne, you know? So then, oh, man, you know, I wish I didn't have acne. These infirmities that we have, though, they stop us from being a horrible person. Why? Because when you get made fun of for being short, you know what that makes you think? Boy, I don't like being made fun of. I better be sure that I don't make other people feel that way, you know, and I don't like feeling that way, so I don't want to make someone else feel that way. And we don't get all prideful and arrogant. I mean, what if we were all just born and raised just tall, slim, good-looking, athletic, muscular, smart? You know what? We would be the most arrogant jerks. We'd be horrible people.
Yeah.
We literally would. You know, that's why Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. You know, we should be happy. You know, God made us the way that we are. And we should just rejoice in who we are and realize that suffering and pain are good for us. They make us who we are. And here's the thing. All of pain is not even really suffering. Because sometimes we go through pain and enjoy it. Think about how many people, they exercise and they love the pain of exercise, or, you know, the pain of struggling up some mountain somewhere, or whatever they like to do, running. You know, look, most people would agree that running can be painful, but yet people love to run. You know, it's a good kind of pain to them. So the point is, this idea of eliminating pain and suffering, number one, you're going to create horrible people, spoiled brats of human beings who've never gone through affliction, tribulation, and suffering that make them a better person. And then you're also creating people who don't really enjoy life, because if you don't have pain, you don't really have pleasure either. You know, it's all just, the same to you. You're a spoiled brat. You've dulled the senses at that point. So they have misguided thoughts about life and the human experience. Also, they think it's great to let everybody live forever. Well, here's the problem with that. You know, there are a lot of bad people that it's great when they die. Seriously. I mean, I heard about a horrible person who died this week. This, you know, you don't know him. But anyway, you know, this sodomite, reprobate, horrible person died. And I thought, you know what? Praise the Lord that this horrible person, this predator, is gone. Right. You know, what if the worst kind of predators, the worst kind of people, just lived hundreds of years? The Bible says this, okay, and if you would flip over there to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Right now we're just talking about some of the misguided ideas of these transhumanists. They think they're smarter than God. Hey, let's eliminate pain and suffering. Hey, you don't have to be that smart to figure out that eliminating pain and suffering is a real bad idea. It's going to create horrible people. Okay. Hey, you know, let's make everybody be able to live forever. Okay, that means all the worst people just live and live and live and get worse and worse and worse and worse. Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, there are people out there who, it's not like, well, you give everybody enough time, eventually they're going to get it. No, the Bible says there are people who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Extending their life's not going to help that process. It says in verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. They're going to get worse, he says, deceiving and being deceived. Well, but, you know, we'll just decide which people can live. Yeah, who decides who gets to live on and who, you know, what in the world? See, this is very ill-conceived, very misguided type of a thought process. You see, the normal span of our life that God has given us is 70 years, and it might be 80, and some people even live to be 100. But that is what God has determined as an appropriate lifespan for us on this earth, and I am content with that. If that's what God has for me, then that's all I want. And then I'm ready to go on to glory, to go on to heaven, to live eternally with Him in heaven. I'm not trying to go beyond that because God in His wisdom has decided for a reason to limit our lives to about 70, 80 years. That's His choice, okay? So, as I finish up this point about the genetically modifying of human beings, let me say this, there are often unintended consequences to this genetic tampering. Because the genetic code of man and of every creature is so complicated that often humans think they understand it and then they go in and mess with it and they end up ruining it. Okay. Now, there are already genetically modified, and if you would flip over to Revelation 11, there are already genetically modified organisms that have already been released into the environment. They've already been released into nature as we speak. Of course, we're all familiar with genetically modified foods. And there are even genetically modified animals that are out there now. And here's the problem with these genetically modified organisms, whether they be plant or animal, is that once they're released into the environment, they contaminate the ecosystem, and you can never put that genie back into the bottle. Once it's out, it's out there. It's going to contaminate everything. You know, for example, the genetically modified soybean plants or the genetically modified corn. This stuff put out by Monsanto, Roundup Ready corn, where this stuff is just ready to suck in Roundup and enjoy it and thrive on Roundup, right? So then when you eat it, you're basically eating Roundup, you know, in your food. Roundup is, of course, weed killer, okay? This Roundup Ready genetically modified corn, for example, that's sold by Monsanto and put out there, and they say, oh, it's so great, it's so easy to produce all this food, we can feed the world. Yeah, feed it with junk. You know, we don't know all the consequences that this stuff is going to have on your health when you're ingesting all this pesticide and herbicide and poison into your system and these genetically modified foods that are often devoid of nutrition as well. You know, we don't know the effect they're going to have. But, oh, it's so great. But here's what happens. The wind comes. You got one guy's field. He's doing the Monsanto genetically modified. The next store neighbor is doing normal God-made corn. You know, he's doing organic, whatever. And what happens is the wind blows over the Monsanto seeds into that guy's field. Well, you know what? He is held liable because Monsanto has bought up all the courts and they've got their people up in the high echelons of government and everything. You know, what's the Supreme Court Justice, Clarence Thomas, I believe is the one who used to, you know, work for Monsanto as one of their lawyers. So it's like there's a revolving door between government and Monsanto, government and these agencies, where it's the fox guarding the hen house, as it were. And basically, the courts have declared that if you have Monsanto Roundup Ready corn growing in your field, it's your fault. If it blew in from next door, it's your fault. And they accuse you of stealing it. You're stealing our product. Okay? And then they can't be organic anymore. So they can't sell their stuff as organic because it's been infected with the Monsanto stuff. So then it's like, okay, they're growing this stuff. They have to pay a fine to Monsanto. And then they can't sell it as organic. So now they have to sell it competing with the cheap stuff. And they're putting all these farmers out of business that are trying to grow crops the old-fashioned way. And there's so much nefarious about the practices of these seed manufacturers like Monsanto. Like, for example, the seeds that they give are sterile in the second generation. So what happens is you plant the seeds, you grow your crop of corn, you harvest the corn, you sell it. Now next year you have to buy more seeds from Monsanto. What farmers have done throughout history is that they would produce a crop and then they would save the seeds from the best plants. And they would plant those seeds next year. You don't have to keep buying seeds. No, you save the seeds from the plant. And then you keep saving the best, saving the best, saving the best, and your plants get better and better and better and better and better. But the reason that these seeds are sterile in the second generation that are coming from Monsanto is that they want you to have to keep buying it every year. They don't want you to just buy it one time. Well, that's bad because, first of all, if it's sterile in the second generation, you know, I wonder if it's making you sterile in the second or third generation. Right. You know, people's fertility rates are way down today. You know, and part of it could be contaminated food, contaminated water. Who knows? But not only that, but this idea of it being sterile in the second generation, you know, that puts you over a barrel where the food supply is all determined by Monsanto. Well, the Bible talks about in the end times there are going to be great famines. You know what? You could engineer a famine. Just stop giving out the seeds and it's like, whoa, nobody has anything to plant. And the whole food chain goes spiraling into chaos because of the fact that, you know, we have no seeds to plant and so forth. And once you release this stuff into the environment, it blows into this guy's field and it contaminates and it goes everywhere. Now, even more so with the genetically modified animals. In fact, they genetically modified some bees and they created these Africanized bees. And now they're like killer bees that are harming people. And I believe that have they even made it into Arizona, Juzo, were you saying? Yeah, the Africanized killer bees, okay? See, when man tampers with things, there are often unintended consequences that he hasn't thought through. See, God thought it all through. He created things the way they are for a reason. Mm-hmm. But we think, well, that's stupid. I think I can do better. I can make a better bee. I can make a better soy plant. I can make better corn. It's like when I was a little kid, I remember being in the church nursery and telling my mom, I could drive a car. I just can't reach the pedals. But if I could reach the pedals, of course I could drive a car because I play pole position. You know, case closed. But she, you know, she told me, no, Stephen, you know, you're not capable of driving a car. But I thought I was when I was 3 years old. Okay. But then when I turned 15 and started actually learning how to drive a car, I realized, wow, this is a lot harder than it looks. But see, the little child thinks that they know everything and they've got the world by the tail at age 3. And this is like man, where we think we know everything God knows. And what does he know anyway? And these scientists are some of the most prideful and arrogant people because they're atheists. Yeah. And it's pride. They believe that they're God. And they don't believe in the true God, the Creator. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. I remember one time I was working at a water filtration plant in Glencoe, Illinois. And there were just ladybugs everywhere. ladybugs. They, like, you couldn't even hardly step down without stepping on ladybugs. It was the weirdest thing ever. And I asked the guy who worked there, I said, what is the deal with all these ladybugs? And he said, well, oh man, don't even get me started. You know, because he has to work amongst these things. And you're like, oh, I like ladybugs. Yeah, but you don't like 5 billion of them, you know, where you're trying to work. They're just, it was weird. And he said, oh, these idiots. He said, they brought in these ladybugs to try to deal with some other issue, but they're not indigenous to this area, so they have no natural predators. So they brought these things in, no predator. They're just multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and just taking over. And if you study the history of Arizona, there are all kinds of plants that were brought here in a misguided attempt to make it look like the East Coast or something. You know, look, just learn to like cactuses and Palo Verde or go somewhere else, all right? You know, but they try to plant all these East Coast type plants. Remind them of home. Go back if you want that. But then what they did, they polluted the ecosystem here where it takes over and it's not meant to be here and it messes things up. See, whenever we think we can plan things better, you know, there are often unintended consequences to our tampering, let alone when you go into the genetic level and start tampering and tinkering and messing with things. Because once you release it in the environment, it's going to mix in and you could never get rid of it again. You could never get rid of these GMOs anymore. They're there. And I think that's part of what God's talking about here in Revelation 11:18. He says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come in the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. You know, not only is man destroying the earth spiritually, but also man is destroying some of the plant and animal life through this genetic tampering and genetically modifying things and creating these weird hybrid organisms where they're mixing plants and animals and all this crazy stuff. Okay, so let's quickly get into a couple of the other types of transhumanism. So these people think that they're going to achieve eternal life. Well, what does the Bible say about that? It says in verse 1 Timothy 6:15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality. The Bible says only God, only Jesus Christ has immortality, the ability to live forever. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So, man doesn't believe that. They say, no, we can approach to that light. We can have immortality of our own accord. Here's how we're going to do it. Number one, genetic modification. Well, first, that's a scary thought, because whenever they genetically modify things, they mess them up and make them worse, and they have all these unintended consequences. Well, there's another way that they think that they're going to achieve immortality through transhumanism, which would be to simply replace the body with parts that do not get old. You know, for example, take out the heart, because the heart's eventually going to run out of steam, right? Take out the heart and put in one that never runs out of steam. Remove the lungs, put in something artificial. Basically, create an artificial body that could just house the human brain, right? And then, you know, man could live forever. Well, here's some problem with that. First of all, the brain probably can't last forever. I mean, think about how, you know, when people get older, doesn't their brain stop working as well as it used to?
Yep.
Okay. So, whoa, that was kind of loud. But the thing about it is that, you know, even if you replace the body, you still have a brain that's going to wax old, right? So that's part of the problem with that game plan, okay? But some of the experiments they've been doing with this is, for example, not too long ago, they did this experiment where they actually were able to cut the heads off of two monkeys and swap heads, okay? So they actually cut the head off a monkey and switched it with another monkey's head and reattached it, and the thing stayed alive for 7 more days, you know? So So the thing died after 7 days because basically the old body rejected the new head. You know, I think there's a scripture about this, about not putting old, you know, new wine into old bottles, you know. You know, not putting a new cloth onto an old garment, okay? So basically, you know, new wine must be put into new bottles. But they took the monkey's head and put it on a different monkey's body, reconnected it, and the thing was able to live for 7 days. But the reason it died after 7 days was that it just rejected. Like, you know, sometimes people get an organ transplant and their body rejects the new organ. It just wasn't compatible. It's like, whoa, wrong head. But this thing, supposedly, they said, you know, it's kind of hard to judge a monkey's personality, but it seemed like it had the same personality, you know, after we swapped heads. Okay. So anyway, they did that. But the goal is to do it with humans. You know, to be able to take that head, swap it out, put it on a new body, or put it on like a cyborg type body, you know, or put it on a young body or whatever. A full body transplant. Okay. This is what they want to do. You know, this is what they're seeking to do to achieve immortality. In fact, I even heard that Walt Disney, you know, because he was really into the occult and this kind of crazy stuff, he actually had his head removed when he died and put on frozen so that someday, you know, when these technologies of transhumanism exist, he could be brought back. It's known as Disney on Ice, you know. But basically, you know, Walt Disney's head is frozen and ready to be, you know, brought back someday through a cyborg or whatever. Okay, so that's another method that says, hey, let's replace the body with parts that were just a brain controlling a body. Sort of like when I was growing up in the 80s, there was a cartoon like this. There was a guy called Krang. Remember Krang? Okay, does anybody remember Krang? All right. God bless you. I see that hand. About 10 people. So that was my generation. All right. So anyway, thirdly, so number one, genetically modify. Number two, hey, let's get body parts that don't wear out. Just keep the brain. Just move the brain only. Okay. My thoughts on that is that the brain itself is going to get old and wear out, you know, as evidence in the world that we live in. And then thirdly, this, and this is the weirdest one, basically taking your mind and consciousness and uploading it to a computer, to a machine, okay? Now, this one right here is maybe a little more complicated, but basically, right now, there is not a computer on this planet that is as powerful as the human mind. Now, a lot of people think that there is. They think that, oh, computers are so much more powerful than our minds. But actually, our brain is more powerful than any computer on this planet, period. Now, there are certain things that a computer can do better. You know, you search something on Google and it's like less than a second. It's able to go through this data. It can do mathematical calculations that our mind can't do. But our mind is doing so much more than that. Even if you just think about something as simple as, you know, shooting a basketball into a hoop, there are so many systems that are at work, you know, as you judge the distance between you and the hoop and, you know, all the different muscles and joints and bones are all moving and the jump and the shot and everything and the judging and the eye and the wind and everything. And there are people who can run and jump and people are blocking them and they can still shoot and make the basket. There's no robot that could even begin to do anything like that.
Right.
Not even begin to. In fact, they tried to make this robot that could just catch a ball. Like you throw a ball, it catches it. You know, and it couldn't do it. It couldn't catch the ball. I saw this one robot that was created just a few years ago that was designed to fold towels. Okay? Now, obviously, you could make a machine that would fold towels really fast and really efficiently if all the towels are identical. She's like, you know, there's all kinds of factories and things that use this kind of technology. But we're talking about a robot that would walk up to a shelf full of towels, pick up a towel, look at the towel, decide how big it is and how it needs to be folded, and then fold it based on that towel and then bring it over and set it in a stack. So I watched this video of this robot doing this. And it looked pretty neat. It walked up, picked up the towel, looked at it, folded it. But then it said, yeah, but this video has been sped up 100 times. If you watch it in real time, It would take over an hour to fold one towel. Literally. And that's just folding towels. I mean, let alone think about what athletes do, just all the coordination and speed and movement and jumping and dodging and, you know, that our minds are capable of doing. Not to mention just the thought, the problem solving, the rationality that we have. Sure, a computer can crunch a bunch of numbers, but we can make intelligent decisions. We can change our plan on the fly. We can learn new things. And so our mind is far more powerful than any computer on this planet. At this time. But see, these scientists and these mathematicians and engineers, they say that eventually they're going to create computers that will be smarter than human beings. Okay. And they claim that, you know, I've heard some say by the year 2025, you know, we're going to have a computer that's as smart as the human mind. You know, and a lot of times these predictions are made and they don't come true. But you know what? I do believe that computer technology is advancing rapidly. And that computers are getting smarter and smarter. I mean, just even in the last few years, the technology is amazing. Now, the smartphones, where you can just pull out a phone, and literally that phone is a super powerful computer, way more powerful than the home computers we grew up with that were a desktop computer this big. The smartphone is way more powerful. And you just have all this knowledge at your fingertips and all this technology, and it's able to give you directions and recalculate your route and take traffic into consideration. So obviously the computers are getting much smarter. And obviously, you know, there could come a time when a computer could be smarter than a human being in the sense of these type of metrics, but not that it would be able to be artificially intelligent in the sense that it would make decisions, that it would make choices or have free will, but that rather a computer is always going to be a machine that does what you program it to do at the end of the day. No matter how smart that machine is, it's still a robot because it is still only doing what you have programmed it to do. But here's the theory behind this. They say, well, once these computers are powerful enough to do what the human mind could do, they would basically take a brain scan of your mind, okay? Because everything that's going on in your brain is, you know, according to them, through electrical impulses. And it's all just very physical and natural. They don't believe in the soul. They don't believe in the spirit. So they're basically saying what we could do is take all of this electrical information and energy and map your brain. And in your brain would be all your memories, all your thoughts, all your thought patterns, all your proclivities and habits and the way that you think and the way that you, and just take everything that's in your brain and upload it to a computer. Can you imagine that? Scan your brain, take all the information out and put it in a computer, put it on a hard drive. Then take that and re-upload it into some kind of a machine, some kind of a robot. And they say this will achieve immortality for us. You know, just get rid of the brain. Get rid of all of it. Just make it all a machine. Well, here's the problem with that. If you were to take all of the information in my brain, right, and take it out of my brain and put it in a machine, would that machine be me now? No, it would think like me, maybe, you know, if they could ever achieve that technology. And remember, back at the beginning of the sermon, I don't think any of this is ever going to happen. Okay. But that machine may think like me. Some would even say it thinks that it is me. Okay, but does that machine even have the consciousness to even think that it's anything? Or is it just doing what it's programmed to do? You know, these are questions. But the bottom line is, even if it could be conscious and think that it's me, it wouldn't be me, though. You haven't transferred the soul. You haven't transferred the spirit when you just take information from someone's brain and put it into a machine, okay? Not to mention the fact that that would be the ultimate invasion of privacy. I mean, you don't like the government looking at your emails? Listening to your cell phone calls? I mean, what about going into your mind? Everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever said or done or heard or known. I mean, would you like that all to just be uploaded to some government computer somewhere? And you say, oh man, that's far-fetched. But here's the thing though, these technologies are approaching. And that's why at some point God's going to have to do a Genesis 3 moment, a Genesis 11 moment where he steps in and puts a stop to it. But listen, they already have the technology where they can read people's minds to an extent. You know, we showed a little bit of this in After the Tribulation, but for example, they took this cat and they tapped into this cat's brain where they play what it sees through its eyes, they played it on a screen. And it was kind of blurry. It wasn't perfect, but you could see what the cat was seeing. And they were reading its brain, reading its mind, what it was seeing, and putting it on a screen. I mean, imagine that. It's creepy, isn't it? But these are the type of things that they just get excited about. They salivate over this. Oh, this is so amazing, you know, these discoveries. Because, you know, this is what they're into. It's transhumanism. All right, I got to get out the Dr. Spurgle glasses for this. It's so amazing because we're going to reach a whole new stage of evolution. For billions of years, you know, we've been evolving at a slow rate, but now we're going to rapidly, you know, go into this new phase. And they even talk about how, like, you know, we might even be left behind. You know, the transhumans are going to take over. You know, and every science fiction where they create, like, an artificially intelligent machine, it always takes over and kills everybody. You know what I mean? It's like, well, what do we need you for? And it takes over, you know. But, oh, even if we all die, it's still so cool because, I mean, it's the next step of evolution. I just hope it happens in my lifetime so I can see it, you know. That's the way these people talk. They're serious. Now, what I find funny about this is that, you know, science today and technology is not able to create artificial intelligence, okay? Now, when you talk about transhumanism, something that inevitably comes up is the subject of artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence would be a machine that can think and learn and have consciousness, okay? Basically, it's not just doing what it's programmed to do, but it actually can make decisions. You know what I mean? See, right now, you could have a machine that'll do things at random or do things that it's programmed to do, but you can't make a machine that makes a decision for itself, that wants to do something. If you made a machine that wanted to do something, you know, then that would be artificial intelligence. If it made decisions and learned and took different paths based on what it wants to do. But here's what's funny. The doctrine of Calvinism teaches that basically we aren't even that intelligent. Because according to Calvinism, everything that we say and do is according to God's will. So what Calvinism does, it reduces man to being a robot, to being a machine. Calvinism teaches that, you know, people only get saved because God made them get saved, and people didn't get saved because God made them not get saved. It's all God's will. God is in control of everything. Now, here's the thing. God is so much more magnificent than that because man, all man can create is robots, machines, computers. But God is so much greater of a creator because he can create a being with free will. Isn't that amazing? God creates a being with free will, the ultimate achievement. And people ask, why is there all this suffering and misery in the world? Because God created beings with free will. Amen. And when you create a being with free will, you're opening up the possibility that it's going to do the wrong thing. Because if you want it to always do the right thing, it's a robot. You know, it's like all those sci-fis where the artificial intelligence takes over and kills everybody, you know, because why? It's doing the wrong thing, you know. So God created us with free will. And people will say, what are you talking about free will? That's not in the Bible. Well, the word free will is mentioned 17 times in the Bible. There it is, free will. But Calvinism's a lie that teaches, hey, Jesus didn't die for everybody, even though the Bible says that he's the savior of all men. Especially of those that believe. The Bible says he tasted death for every man. The Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He willed that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But Calvinism has put God into a box that they can understand, where they make him like a human where he can only create robots. No, God is greater than man because he creates beings with free will, not robots. But man has not reached that level of being able to create a being with free will. They have not even been able to create a computer that has artificial intelligence, let alone a robot or a cyborg or an android or whatever you want to talk about. So the bottom line is this: transhumanism will fail. That's the end of the story. You know, this idea of, oh, we're going to reach these technologies. Look, God's going to put a stop to it. God has put certain limitations on us where you can't have your cake and eat it too, and where you will die. Without Jesus Christ, you will die, and there's nothing you can do about it. Now, you might be able to extend your life a little bit using technology. And obviously, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, hey, you have a heart attack and get a new valve put in or something. You know, that's just whatever. That's obviously, there's nothing wrong with, you know, you lose a leg and you put on a prosthetic. Okay, but we're talking about people who are trying to live forever, trying to go beyond what God has given to us as human beings. We're not talking about fixing an injury, you know, or fixing something that breaks. We're talking about people who want to, you know, improve upon God's creation. That's where they've crossed the line into this transhumanism. The bottom line is, I'll read this from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says that God, basically, verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know, that's the bottom line, is that immortality is only achieved through the gospel. We have eternal life through Jesus. He only has the words of eternal life. Right. And man is blasphemous when he says, I'm better than God, I'm smarter than God, I can create a better human being, better animals, better plants, I'm going to live forever, I don't need Jesus, I don't need God, I'm going to do it all by myself. It's a Tower of Babel mentality.
Yeah.
It's a satanic mentality. And God has the power to put a stop to it, and he will put a stop to it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for eternal life, Lord. Thank you that we don't have to spend hours and days and years in a laboratory trying to figure out how we can live forever. All we have to do is just call upon the name of the Lord and be saved.
Amen.
Thank you for eternal life, Lord. And thank you that our eternal life's not going to be passed in this world, but that rather we're going to go on to greater things after we breathe our last breath, Lord. Please, Lord, help many of these misguided transhumanists to see the error of their ways and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late, Lord. Help us not to be influenced by this bizarre ideology of evolution, the Big Bang, transhumanism, and all of these sciences falsely so-called, Lord. Help us to focus on that which is spiritual, not on that which is physical in this world. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.